And now, you're tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
Hi, hello, how are ya? My name is Liz, this is Tom DePinto, and this is RBLR Sun. To our new listeners, thank you so much for joining us. For anyone returning, thank you so much for coming back. I don't know why you'd want to keep listening to us, but my gosh, thank you so much. We're just weirdos rambling on and on about women's soccer. But remember to like and subscribe so that you never miss anything. Look at that transition, so great. Tom, how are you today?
Lizzie, I'm doing wonderful. I've had an insane week. I don't know if you heard, but there was a hurricane.
There sure was. My power's been going out literally all week, including today.
Yeah, so that kind of defined how the entire week was. It was exciting. It was hard to manage, but we're getting through it. And with every passing day, we get closer and closer to Tampa Bay Sun football. Thank God.
Yes. How many days? 10 days. 10 days.
10 days.
10 days. All right.
One day. So, you count preseason.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. So we do have on the docket today, we have a kickoff week of events. We're going to go over some preseason matches that have been happening around the league that we know some information about, but not a ton because people aren't telling us things, which is kind of rude, including a battle for the best crest, though. And we're going to do a quick Olympic gold medal match preview. But before we get to all that, the thing you read in the title, probably the reason you actually clicked this and or are listening to this, we have an interview with Amanda Vandevort, the USL League president. So make sure that you stay tuned for that. But if you want some swag to wear to that first preseason game, make sure that you go to shop RBLR Sports and use the promo code HEATWAVE, HEATWAVE, for 10% off.
Okay, guys, this is the interview we promised you. This is the president of the USL Super League, Amanda Vandevort. Thank you so much for taking some time to come and talk to us. We have a couple of questions for you, nothing too hard-hitting, nothing too crazy, but please, a little bit about yourself. We know that you are the president of the Super League. You are the former chief women's football officer of FIFPro, former president of United Soccer Coaches, former Major League Soccer vice president of fan engagement, former NYU soccer head coach. This next one, Tom is really excited, so I'm going to let him say it.
Yep. 2-year team captain for the University of Wyoming Cowgirls, okay. NCAA D1, and she was the best position on the field, a goalie.
Go folks. That's right. But what you missed is that I am a resident of St. Petersburg, Florida.
Oh, of course. Yes, of course. The best part. We are technically your home team.
Yes, we can count the league president as one of our fans.
Yes.
Don't check too hard.
For sure. Here. So overall, how do you think the league rollout has gone?
Oh my gosh, that's a big question.
Oh, okay.
It's amazing. I mean, it's amazing. We kick off in 2 weeks. I've got a countdown clock just across my office. 11 days we've got until we kick off the league. Our first game is in Charlotte, actually, North Carolina. Carolina Ascent take on DC Power. And then the next day, the 18th, obviously we're here in Tampa Bay. Yeah. Can't wait for Dallas to come to town and kick things off right here in our hometown.
Yeah,
for sure. I know a lot of people are looking forward to this game, and we have a whole bunch of things planned this week. It's very exciting. What do you think then? What do you think was like the biggest challenge, like going into this then?
You know what? I should have taken a lot more time because these are the hard.
We only get a little bit of time with you. We wanted to make it count. These are the things people have been asking us as well. Like people want to know. Yeah.
Listen, I appreciate that. I want to answer the questions. We try and pull back the curtain in moments like this and give the fans all the answers that you guys are looking for about the league, the team. Let's see. So biggest challenge, I think it's not a challenge. It's an opportunity, but it's getting into the community, like getting out there, getting the word out that we're bringing professional women's soccer to Tampa Bay and really like getting as many people aware of this team, aware of what we're building, aware of the level of the league, as possible so that this is a short-term and long-term sustainable, successful professional women's soccer club, which I have no doubt about. This group here in Tampa Bay is unbelievable.
Yeah.
every league comes with, you know, it's hard to get something off the ground, especially I think in most of these markets for the Super League, they've never had, just like here in Tampa Bay, we've never had a pro women's soccer team of our own. So to have that, to be able to bring that around the country, bring that right here to Tampa, it's really huge. We've got such a big sporting history. We got the Rowdies, the Bucks, all that stuff. But to have pro women's soccer, that's what, you know, we really needed. And it's been super impressive.
Yeah, I mean, pro women's sports in general, right? Tampa Bay is such a sports town, and it's almost like, wait, we never had professional women's sport in Tampa Bay. So what a moment, what an opportunity. And with the rise of women's sports, like globally and in the United States and what we see happening, I think this city, this community is in the perfect position to take advantage of having the highest level elite professional women players, you know, right in their backyard.
Oh, for sure. I mean, we have such good programs to pull from all around us. Especially, of course, we love our former head coach of USF, Denise Shilty Brown. We love her. We did pull a couple players from there, but we've been pulling kind of from all over. But you're right. It was always mind-boggling to me that the NWSL would have Orlando and then nothing else. That's it. That's all for Florida. That's it. Nothing else is in Florida. Well, it was crazy that was a market they were ignoring, amongst many, of course. But I've always been looking forward to this for so long.
Yeah, me too. It's when you look at the delta in, I mean, this is big picture, right? In men's professional soccer, there's over 120, something like that, men's professional soccer teams in the United States, and there's 14 women's. Yeah. So the gap that exists, and to your point, Liz, like so many cities are they haven't been able to really have a women's professional sports team or women's professional soccer. And these are markets that want women's soccer. They're excited for women's soccer, and to be able to deliver that through the USL Super League is it's exciting, and it's a gift that I'm proud to be part of.
Yeah, women's sports overall really on the come up. We're hitting a point now where even little boys are looking up to pro women athletes as role models, as something to aspire to. And to have that here in Tampa is huge. And to what you're saying about the disparity kind of between men's and women's pro teams, that's something that always really got me, is how there's so many good college programs for women and great stadiums and where there's got good soccer culture, but then never any opportunities, at least here in America, to keep playing the game they love. And that's what I think is great about the league.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of Americans who had to go abroad to play professionally and extend their careers. A lot of them have come home. You know, you see a lot of players from Tampa Bay who wanted to be here, wanted to be in this area, and have come. And some internationals too, who see the level of play, think obviously Tampa Bay is an amazing place to be, and have come from their overseas experience to come here to Tampa. So it's a mix of incredible talent that's been fairly dispersed, I think, for however long, and now to be able to be brought together in the context of the Super League in Tampa Bay is perfect.
Do you think it was important to get Tampa Bay, like specifically as a market, out of the gate and not just because it would be easy for you as a resident, or is there more to it?
I wish I had strings to pull as a resident, but you know, our league office is here in Tampa Bay. So the USL league headquarters is in Tampa Bay. We've got our championship team, obviously with the Tampa Bay Rowdies right here in St. Pete, actually in right by my house. So I love the Tampa Bay Rowdies, love soccer in Tampa Bay. It's been amazing to have now, the women's professional team here. I mean, Tampa Bay is an amazing place to be. It's we're proud of it at the USL. We're proud of having our team here. I mean, we love all of our teams. We love all of the cities where we have the teams, but certainly having one right in our backyard is really special.
Yeah.
So now that we're a little biased, we do think our branding and our jerseys are really, really good.
Yeah, they're amazing.
But do you think, and this is something I've heard kind of around too, do you think Tampa Bay is kind of like the league standard now for a lot of like the rollout? I have to say, like, we were ahead of the game on a lot of things.
Yeah. You guys, we have, we have so many amazing teams and they all have their own. What's so cool about the USL is the connection to community. And I think the way you guys feel about the Tampa Bay brand and how it resonates with you is how our fans in other cities feel about their brands too. And I think that that's kind of an important marker of what the USL is and how it can bring people together through the local communities and through the flavor of each city. So in the last week, I've been traveling actually to try and meet all the players across the league. I've met the Sun, but I went out, I was in Lexington and I was in Charlotte, North Carolina. I was in Dallas. I was in Spokane the last week, like getting out and feeling what this league is like on the ground, how excited the players are, what's the energy and enthusiasm like across the entire league. And it's off the charts. And every club, I think, is a really fair and true representation of the opportunity of women's professional soccer in that city. So yes, Tampa Bay branding club is amazing. And I'm incredibly, incredibly proud of our group here. Christina Uncle, our president, Daryl Shaw, our owner. You guys already said Denise. I mean, the whole operation here is unbelievable and I couldn't be more proud of them. And, I would say the same about all of our clubs, to be honest. It's like such a moment of excitement and pride for me.
No, that makes sense. It's a good answer. As a league president, it's hard to pick a favorite kid. I coach a girls lacrosse team over here, and it's kind of a situation where I can't say any of one of them is my favorite, but there is one who's going to go play in college.
Great. And you know what? I bet there's others who are going to go on to other things in sport. And that's one of the things through the Super League, through the USL, we think a lot about, not just being a professional player, but after you're done going into the industry in the front office, maybe you do media or PR or broadcast or be an executive in sport. It will be a coach, of course, athletic trainer, any of those avenues. So the more women we can keep in the game beyond their playing days, the better the sport will be for everyone. And of course the people, men and women both, who support and promote the women's game. We're excited about what the Super League will bring to the future of professional women's sport.
Oh yeah, I just had a thought. I was like, I just realized like what some of my favorite soccer like commentary is always done by former players that I've seen play.
Yeah.
So I can't, oh my gosh, I can't wait for that to be the Super League now. Oh my goodness, I'm getting goosebumps.
One day we'll be there.
Yeah, for sure.
It's great.
So what do you think like 1 year success looks like? Is it attendance? Is it TV numbers? Is it developing players? Is it like all of the above kind of mixed together? What do you think?
I think it's experience. I think it's the players having a great experience and the fans having a great experience. So trying, to make sure that we're thinking player first and fan centric in everything that we do and how we make our decisions, I think will lead to success in that first year. Understanding how people feel about the league. Have we delivered on our brand promise to bring more professional women's soccer closer to home? And are the people involved in the league having a great experience? And by involved, I mean, that's everyone, like I said, from players to fan, to staff, to front office coaches, et cetera, because that's part of the professionalization of the sport is the growth and development of the people in it.
But I don't want to get too into the weeds about the transfers and how the league wants to work. But I think it was another interview you did where you said America is unique in that we can support two first division women's leagues in a way that other countries can't. How do you think that, what does that mean for the Super League? Like, how are we going to fit in interacting with Europe now that we're on the same schedule as them and with the NWSL being right here, but on different schedules? Are we going to see player movement between us and them? Or are we going to be sending girls to Europe? Like, what do you think Super League means for global soccer?
Tom, I feel like you just answered my question for me. Being on the international calendar is where it's at for us. Like the being aligned on player contracts, having the seasonality aligned with the rest of the world, so players are training on the same kind of cycle, it was really foundational for us. I think as we are building a league for the future of professional soccer and professional women's soccer, we have to project out and say, where are we today and where are we going? And you know, it's one of the things you've even heard the new head coach of our U.S. women's national team, Emma Hayes, talking about the growth and development of women's professional soccer in other countries has been incredible in recent years. And so for us in the United States to, I think, continue to be a leader in that game, we not only need to continue to push ourselves, but also be a part of that global conversation and that global narrative, be a leader in what that means. So that's, you know, I think that's our, I mean, that's not, I think, and that's our intent at the USL Super League is to be a global leader in professional women's soccer and to be engaged with the rest of the world and the women around the world in developing the talent and the fan base and the professionalization of the game.
That's really good. I think that's one way of keeping America kind of at the forefront of the international women's game is recognizing that we're not as far out ahead. And if we can integrate our first division with the rest of the world like this, it means better things for our soccer, for our national team, and for the just for the game in general, I think. That's really good.
Yeah, well, I'm a soccer lifer. I love the game. I'm like a student of the game. I've lived around the world and seen how it's grown and developed. And yeah, to be at this point where we are in women's soccer, it's unbelievable the investment that's gone into the game and the investment even in our first season of the USL Super League, even the amount of investment that's going into the United States. So we're building a state right where you guys know we're renovating the stadium here, Waterfront Stadium downtown. We've got a new stadium we're building in Lexington. We've just built a stadium in Spokane. We're like it's the infrastructure that's going into developing the game. You know, there's been, I don't know, in history, over history, we've put so much investment into the men's side of the game, but now here we are finally at the cusp of actually having stadiums purpose built for women's sport. And that's going to change the game. It's going to break it wide open.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I think so.
So I guess I have to say, I guess the hardest hitting question that we have, and I also a question that's near and dear to my heart is how do you think, how do you want to manage this high demand? Because there is a lot of demand, but keeping it sustainable. We've seen a lot of leagues start and fold and start and fold and teams start and fold. And it's so frustrating, especially when it's your home team. I really don't think that'll happen with Tampa Bay. Obviously we're biased, but it's definitely something I think in the back of most women's soccer fans' minds.
Yeah, I mean, it's about building a sustainable business and understanding what drives revenue and building a fan experience around the things that they enjoy that will drive them to invest and engage along with sponsors. It's important that we bring along sponsors who are aligned with our values and vision who want to invest in the future of sport. So ensuring that we have those revenue sources is a critical component to the long-term sustainability of the league. But if we're looking at leading indicators of success, I'll go back to the experience, the fan experience, the player experience, the brand and partner experience as sponsors of the league, are they getting, you know, what they're looking for their brands? And we believe the Super League will deliver time and time again. So for us, we're excited about building a league that's generational, that's going to be built, you know, not for the players. I mean, not just for the players today, but for their kids and their kids beyond that. And being able to build a community of fans too, that's, you know, you guys bring your kids in the future and family can rally around having the Tampa Bay Sun Football Club as their home club for, like, that's their family crest, you know, and that's what we build in Tampa Bay.
Yeah. And I know in Tampa, people, like you said, sports town will totally come around to it real quick, especially the way the build has been, how professional it looks, right on par with the Lightning and the Buck. And I mean, what you said about building a club for us, but also for the kids, for everybody else coming along, that's something that I love to hear, because the Rowdies hit that in a way a lot of soccer teams in the country really don't. Where you get old timers, you're like, oh yeah, I remember going to the old Sombrero watching games in the 60s and they played Pele, and we could be that first kind of thing for women's soccer here. It's like, oh yeah, I remember going down to Blake High School when they played back there. Oh, that was crazy.
Yep. Yep. Amazing, right? What a moment. But it takes all of us. We're all building it together. Like I hope that that's evident in even our conversation here. It's not, you know, it's not the league or the team. This is about the people involved in building this thing, and the fans are an equal partner in getting this thing going and getting this league moving forward. And so, you know, I mean, the things that you guys are looking for are like, I'd love to know. I'd love to hear from you. Like, what do you want from the USL Super League? What's important to you?
She turned the tables on us.
She did. Oh, and even our producer was going to be like, ask her if she has any questions for you. And then Josh just read his mind, apparently.
I did read the note, to be fair. Okay. Right here. Okay, that's a good one. I'm going for it. You can read it
too. I'm very professional, you can tell.
I just think that the way, I've said it, the way it can really help grow the sport and give opportunities to like girls who didn't really have anything to look forward to around here like that. And what I really like specifically is like local rivalries, because that helps foster everything a lot more. And the fact that here in Florida, the first year we've got Fluted down there. I have mixed feelings about them already, and I don't think that'll ever change. But to have, you know, we can take buses down there, we can bring them up here. We're going to have Duval, Palm Beach as well. I just love seeing those kind of local rivalries, because it brings the passion out more for people. You can tell someone we're playing Dallas, Lexington, Spokane, Brooklyn, and they're like, all right, that's cool, that's fun.
But
Fort Lauderdale's come up, they're like, oh, we gotta get them. You know? Yeah.
And so we need to crush them.
Yeah. As fans, it's like an honor for Lizzie and I to be like on the ground floor of like making.
Oh my gosh! Yeah.
Culture be what it needs to be. So to guide that with the help of some good fans down there in Fort Lauderdale, that's gonna make it so much easier for us.
Yeah. Yeah, honestly, the groundwork that the Super League laid for the Sun and everything, it's phenomenal. I'm so excited for this season. I can't even put it into words, honestly, sorry. I've just been waiting. I had a Twitter account called Do the Rowdies Have a Women's Team Yet?
And it was tweeting. Oh, that was you!
And it was just tweeting every day for years.
I've gone so many times and be like, almost, I promise I'm working on this challenge.
No, oh man, like the day I found out we were gonna have a women's team, it was actually like our producer Eureka, he found the USL Super League website, and I was like freaking out that day. Oh, this has been my life ever since it's been announced.
Oh, you are sneaky. I now you put a face to the work. We see it all. Obviously, we see it all. People DMing me on Instagram and Twitter, and I see it coming through. It's hilarious. I love that. Was that a goal?
No.
Oh.
Okay.
Close though.
Right. But I love, that's amazing. I actually love that you've just revealed yourself to me.
She's an OG, Liz is.
Yes. Yeah.
Amazing.
I know you guys see it everything. Because I was on Twitter complaining about the Sun not having announced a goal yet. And you were on there like, I'm sick of hearing from people that we don't have this or that. It's like, all right.
Yeah, Christina, I think, said something.
Yes,
that was yeah, right. Christina, yeah. Yes.
So yeah, you guys see it all.
If you're asking me, like, how do we, like, listening to the fans is an active part of the job. So it's fun, right? I love watching your banter and being in the mix. You don't know I'm in the mix, but I swear I'm in the mix. It's happening. But I think that's part of what our commitment is to read what the fans are saying, good, bad, and different, understand what are the things that you're looking for in your soccer experience, because we take that and we're like, okay, how do we build programming or develop, you know, the league or around the things that the fans care about.
Yeah. I mean, as far as fan feedback too, you guys nailed it with Peacock. Everyone's really happy about that.
Oh my God. Yes. Holy crap. I can't like honestly, hats off to y'all. Not having it be in 57 different places is amazing.
Well, historically, women soccer fans have to search out their sport, right? And we're on, like you said, Lizzie, we're on like 10 different platforms trying to find it. All through time, it's always been like that, I feel like, as a fan of women's soccer. So,
I feel like it's just only recently that men's soccer has gotten to like a core, like one or two platforms even. So it's been fractured for soccer forever. It's frustrating as heck as a fan.
Yeah, well, that's what we did. We said, what are the fans saying? And let's see, can we solve that? So for us, accessibility and being available to as many people as possible to make sure that we can get our product, the OSL Super League, in front of eyeballs across the country on a consistent basis was one of our key priorities in launching the league. Because the more people see it, the more, you know, the more fans we can build. And ultimately, again, driving that long-term sustainability. So that's, did we just win?
That's perfect timing.
Oh, that's great.
Oh my god, amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. On to the gold medal, baby.
Oh yeah.
We're taping this during the USA Germany game, by the
yes.
way.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah,
I'm excited we got to see the end of that during this, actually.
Yeah,
that's great.
Amazing. Oh, look at them. Oh, so good.
This great. Has been such a good Olympics, honestly. It's been good. I mean, it's been good soccer for like weeks. We had there was the Gold Cup and then the Copa America. And there's been tournament after tournament, which normally I hate because it's too much. Like for the players, I understand that they need a break, but like I love all the good soccer coming my way. And then we had the sun in 12 days.
The summer of soccer is not going to stop.
12 days. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a countdown on my phone screen. Yeah.
Good job, everybody. Okay, all right. Amanda, too, is there any, like, matchups? Like, I know every team plays every team twice, which is a great format. Are there any, like, matchups that you are looking forward to, whether it's, like, see how the fans interact or how the teams match up? Or what do you think could be, like, a marker?
The soccer? I don't know. I'm like, I can't – I have no idea how these teams are going to perform until we get them out on the field. So, I mean – I'm excited. I'm excited for the rivalries like you are. I do think Fort Lauderdale Tampa is a great rivalry. I'm really excited for that. There's a lot of reasons from a business perspective that rivalry is actually a really good thing. So as we're thinking about building out the league, ensuring that we're building upon that like fan interest. But for me, it's opening weekend. Like that's where my focus is right now, opening weekend, and then every one of our teams opening matches. So, you know, we got Charlotte, Spokane, and you guys in 12 days. And the rest of our teams will have their opening matches. We're opening a brand new stadium in Lexington, Kentucky on September 8th, which is super exciting. So for me, opening infrastructure, leaning into rivalries, and just seeing the fans come out and be able for the first time to support professional women's soccer in their home markets is it's going to be awesome.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it. Taking time out of your day. I know you're super, super busy. I know you have so much going on right now, but thank you again for coming to our little podcast and talking to us. It means the world as fans, for sure. Getting to talk to you is amazing. But then also just as someone who's covering this on the ground level, watching it happen, it's so wild.
Thank you. This has been awesome. I'm happy to chat. This has been great. Hi to everyone who's listening and thanks for your support. And let's rock the Tampa Bay Sun FC inaugural season.
Woo! Woo! All right.
Okay. And thank you so much again to Amanda Vandenbort for taking some time out of her day. Talk to us. I don't think I could pick a better person to be leading us forward in this new league, or someone who's more excited too. So I love the enthusiasm she has. I have good feelings, good vibes. I like it.
Yeah. You get the feeling she's not just the president. She's like the biggest fan of the league too.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yes. She, you could tell she didn't want to, you know, she's not allowed to pick a favorite or nothing, but it's so cool that she's here in Tampa Bay. She's a resident of St. Pete. Like she said, remember what she looks like if you're watching this, and give her a high five if you see her at Riverfront or something. Tell her she's doing a great job.
Yeah, it sounds like she'll be there.
Yeah, I think so. I think she'll probably be at more of our games than any other. Just
yeah,
out of ease.
It's just, you know, convenience.
And because we're her favorite.
Yeah, of course.
Whatever.
Okay, so we do have some exciting things going on this week. They have a slew of events going on. So they already had a Goals at Gaslight Park event. Yep. It looks like they had some fun. A lot of kids came out, shot some soccer balls, got some schedules signed, which is super cool. I want one of those schedules. They're cool. They're tall. I have, especially because I have a Rowdies one from the first season. So I'm going to have a Rowdies one from the first season and a Sun one. And I'm going to be like, oh, look at that. Oh, look at that. Because I'm a big dork. So yeah. That did already happen. That was,
that looked like a cool event too. They had the news out there, NBC, I know. And they did a little interview with a little girl. And she's like, one day I want to play for the Olympics team. I want to be a pro soccer player. And I'm like, this interview is going to go so hard when she's playing for the Sun in like 15 years.
Oh my God, I know. It's great. Yeah. So as when this airs, that will have been 2 days ago on Wednesday, just for so people know things. But that did look like it was a big event. A lot of people, looks like it came out. Yeah. Very cool. Players look like they had fun too. Yeah. Oh my God, Yuki was so cute.
She was loving it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's important they get out there. And you know, one of the players was saying it, you know, it's a first year with the team. You don't start with a great fan base. You have to kind of build it. And so that's how you do. You get out and you say hi to people.
Yeah. And you get the kids, man, because the kids will poke the parents to be like, no, I want to go watch the soccer. Take me to the soccer.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yes. So then what they didn't announce, but we get to talk about because we know things. There was a closed door match versus USF at Blake High School. At Riverfront Stadium.
There you go.
Excuse me. We call it by its legal government name.
Yes.
And after probably about an hour of looking at one of the pictures they posted, we think we have figured out the starting 11 for this match. Yeah. We don't necessarily think that will always be the starting 11. There are a handful of players who are not here yet. But it looks like we had a goalkeeper. We had Marchese, of course. Come on now. We think we had Viv Bissett, Jordy Listro, Wasilla Dewora Sawale, Erica Timrak, Brooke. We think Brooke Hendricks. We're not sure. We have to get better at identifying our Brooks because we got two of them. So we think Brooke Hendricks. We're pretty sure Carly Giamona. We think Brooke Denizik. And then we're pretty sure about Ashley Clark-Limmy, Riley Madeline Parker, and Sydney Nocello. Fairly sure that was our starting 11 tonight against USF. They did not announce a score or anything else except for a pretty nice Riley Mattingly Parker goal. I can't quite tell who was assisting her, unfortunately.
Yeah. So somebody popped up a nice cross from kind of the edge of the box on the left side and found Riley on the back post, completely open to kind of popping in out of the air. It was a nice team goal. That's what you like to see.
Yeah, no. Oh, I hope if we see more of those, the C-section's going to be losing their shit. Oh, my God. I'm going to be losing my mind.
Yeah, really. I'm losing my mind just watching, like, the seven-second clip of the goal.
I know, right?
like that's the first Tampa Bay Sun goal at Riverfront Stadium. Yeah. We're not sure who assisted it. We don't know what the minute was. We don't know if it was a big deal or if it was the only goal or what, but it happened.
Yeah. We know what happened. There's been a goal.
Yes. Finally.
Yes. We're
not counting TST.
Yeah. Fair enough. Not counting TST. So Tom, what were you, you're a little more technically minded than I am. What were you saying you think is going to be the setup then?
Yeah. Just based on who was out there, at least, it looks like a pretty standard soccer. We're not doing anything, you know, crazy in the first game of the season, and I kind of doubt we'll stray too far from it. Based off of what I imagine, we're a very versatile team, is what makes it a little difficult. Heavy on the midfielders, which when you have so many midfielders, it kind of stops meaning anything. Midfield is just soccer player.
Just
essentially,
all midfielders.
Yeah, like, oh, you're definitely a forward, you're definitely a defender, and you guys all play soccer.
Yeah,
that's kind of what we have going on. But it looks to me like we're running a 4-3-3, which is a very solid, normal, safe, effective soccer formation that everyone should know about and be familiar with. It's a good go-to. I was looking at it and I kind of like, I know for sure Hendricks, center back. I'm kind of thinking double Brooks in the middle of the back line with Denisic and Hendricks. And then I'm pretty sure Wasilla will play on the right side as a wide back. And Viv Bissett, if that is indeed her, and I apologize if it's not, as the left back. And then that leaves a pretty dangerous midfield of Timrak, Jamona, and Listro. A lot of experience, a lot of composure on the ball, which is something you're really going to need from a team that hasn't ever played together. You need a midfield to be able to keep the game going. And then those three forwards, Ashley Clark-Lemieux, Riley Madeline Parker, Sidney Nasello, that's dangerous. We don't even have Hannah Keane out there yet. So we should really be scoring some goals. I know that's been the expectation, but actually seeing the formation and seeing who we can plug in where, we should terrorize some defenses, I would hope. Some teams more than others in this league, especially. I know Dallas, our first opponent, they're going to be pretty solid defensively. So that'll probably be us controlling the game, and we'll get onto our predictions next week. But I like the lineup already, and that's without a number of players. Like you said, Lizzie, we don't have Jasmine Abundis in here yet. We don't have Jade Moore. We don't have Cecilia Nielsen. We don't have Tasha Flint. And those are all foreign-based players, so there may be some visa shenanigans going on there. So who knows when they'll show up, but they will. And even without them, we got a damn dangerous team.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, if I was looking at some of the pictures, I forgot for a minute that Jordi Lestro and Erica Timrak were on the Pride together. Yeah. So like to have them together as defense, their little hive mind, and then they're going to bring Wasilla into it. It's, oh, that sounds scary.
Yeah. I feel totally confident about our ability to control the pace of play. I think that's going to be kind of the hallmark of Sun Soccer, owning the ball. Not necessarily, you know, a lot of coaches like talk about, oh, we're going to play exciting soccer. We're going to press. We're going to, that's all well and good, but like that can get touchy. So I would much rather have a team that just has the ball and suffocates the defense. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. And I'm just excited.
Yeah.
10 days, and
one
then
day.
Less days because one we day. Have preseason.
Yeah, I mean, right. We're not the only ones doing preseason though.
No, we're not. But hold on, we're still doing kickoff events.
Oh yeah.
We do have our preseason match, which when this airs will be tomorrow, Saturday, August 10th, against Fort Lauderdale United. You do have to be a season ticket holder, a Sun Chaser, to attend. So if you no one to see if they can get you a ticket because tickets are free.
And you do have to get a ticket. You can't just walk up.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's how they're also doing parking. So parking will be free for Sun Chasers. So make sure I'm sure you just probably have to show that you have the ticket from SeatGeek. So make sure that you go in and you reserve yourself a ticket. I'm sure they want as many people there as possible. I think it's going to be super duper fun. We will be taking copious notes about lineups and stuff.
Yes,
for sure. To let everyone know what it was. We'll probably be tweeting it too.
Yep. Take pictures of Fort Lauderdale so we can try and identify who they've got out there, you know?
Yeah. Come up with fun ways to heckle them.
Yeah. That'll be easy. That comes naturally.
That's true.
Especially when we're playing Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah. And then there's a Sunday Funday Fan Fest, at Julian B. Lane Park. From 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Make sure that you go by. I think it'll be really fun. I'm definitely going to go to that because why not? I want to meet some players. I definitely, like I said, I want that schedule.
Yep. I want to kick a ball, you know?
Yeah. And then from Wednesday to Friday at Amalie Arena, there will be a Tampa Bay Sun pop-up shop. So it sounds like jerseys will be available to purchase from this because it says we're taking over the team store at Amalie Arena for fans to pick up jerseys, scarves, and t-shirts for the fam.
For the fam. So cute.
Yeah. So if you need some gear before then, make sure that you hit that up, but also rblrsports.com.
There you go.
10% off. Got to throw that in everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you did pre-order a jersey, that's how you get it if you want to get it before the game.
Yes.
You got to handle.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then leads right into Sunday, August 16th, the game against Dallas.
Yes, the game.
The only one. The only one.
Yeah. No, the first two games will be Friday, so we can get acquainted with the league, binge 4 hours straight, and be ready to go for Saturday.
Did we say it's already on Peacock?
We didn't say that, but all the games are.
Yeah, all the games are already on Peacock. Like, they're listed on the thingy, so you can go and like save it or whatever. But it's there. Oh my god,
you add it to my stuff. I don't know what that does, but that's the thing you can do.
That's my team is on there. Our team is on there.
It's right below Premier League.
Dude.
Yeah. We big time it.
I'm losing my shit a little bit.
Hold it together.
I'm tearing. I'm going to cry so
hard. You're a professional. You're a journalist now.
I know. But I'm a sap.
Yeah. A very emotional journalist.
Yes. Very, very passionate. Okay. So we did have some, as you were saying, some other preseason matches going on. It looks like Kentucky versus Lexington was a rain out.
But they did reschedule and play it.
Yay!
Yeah, they again, it's preseason. Teams aren't going to be telling you what formation they played. They're not going to be telling you who scored goals. They're not going to be telling you what the score was most of the time. Some of them do, but Lexington did put up some video from the game. And my God, y'all, they were getting each other. I don't know what that was about, but there was a lot of shoulder-to-shoulder charging, a lot of on-the-ground stuff, and that's what they were willing to post. So as long as we're talking about, you know, team identities, Tampa Bay Sun going to control the pace of game, very cold, calculating. Lexington might just be like rough, dude. they could, because they brought up like five players from their own USLW League team. Mm-hmm. I know that they don't exactly have the budget that we do, and that's, you know, that's not a slight on them by any means, but it's going to inform the way the team plays. So I think they might be a little grittier than we will be, I think.
Okay. And then it looks like we had Dallas versus Oklahoma, but no score.
Yep. No score. They played at the Cotton Bowl. Good for them.
It looks like a lot of teams are getting a good first touch on the pitch, we can say, by the way, they do practice on grass, the Sun. They just have to play on not disgusting turf. I do like the turf they've put down. It's very nice turf. We're just turf biased.
Yeah, but yeah, they do get some a couple turf practices. That way they're not unfamiliar with it, because bounce is different, all that good stuff. But it's good to see teams playing on their home field and getting a feel for it. That way they're not shocked, you know? That's the away team's job.
Yes.
Yeah, so that game was no videos, just pictures. We don't know anything about it. The game we do know a lot about.
Maybe too much.
Maybe more than they should let us know. DC Power, the team we're all rooting for. Everybody's second favorite team, you know? Just because we want it to not. We want it to, hey, guys, keep it up. They lost 5-1 to the University of North Carolina. And again, not a good result by any stretch of the imagination, but they did only bring 11 players. They did have a number of trialists, which I guess explains the scoreline, but does raise other questions, such as, where are your substitutes?
Where are the other 10?
Yeah. It raises questions like, where are your substitutes? Where
are
your
the other 10 players in the room?
And are you okay? Oh, are we saying visa issues for DC too, probably?
I guess it's possible. It could be anything.
That's fine. Just don't tell us you lost 5-1. You know, I don't want to know that.
Why would you tell? I mean, you know what? No. Respect, because they put out their score regardless.
I guess.
Okay, and there's other teams that didn't. So you know what? No, here at RBLR, we are thankful when teams put out their stats.
That takes gumption. It takes. It takes. It does. I like it.
It does.
Yeah.
And you know what? They can be like, hey, look, we sucked then. And then later on when they're really, really, really good, I'm speaking this into existence. That's they can true. Be like, oh, we sucked them. We're good now. Who cares?
Yep. Good. I'm rooting for them. I really
am.
You know who I'm not rooting for and doesn't have any gumption because they didn't release their score? Fort Lauderdale. They played UCF. We know nothing about it.
Yeah.
It was open to the public, but they have very few fans, so nobody leaked anything about the score. So that's what we're dealing with down there. It's technically Fort Lauderdale Hate Week, so I'm well within my realm to say all of what I'm saying. Fort Lauderdale has no guts. And as far as I know, they lost 12-1 to UCF. Somebody correct me. You won't.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I came out hot, you know?
I understand.
And then there was one other game, which we actually have a score and a goal scorer. So good on Carolina Ascent. They kind of live tweeted, you know, not super detailed minute by minute type stuff. But we do know that Carolina Ascent played the South Carolina Gamecocks. They went over to Columbia to play them. And Jill Aguilera, the Puerto Rican national teamer, she scored in the 13th minute. And then the Gamecocks scored later in the game in the 70th. That's very typical preseason type stuff. The pro team gets an early lead, probably subbed in a whole different team at halftime, and then the college team scores. You know, can't read much into that besides, you know, that makes sense. That's normal.
Yeah.
So good for them there.
Yeah. And thank you again to Carolina. And I'm sure if anyone from Carolina is listening to this, thank you again for posting your stats. We like that.
Thank you to Carolina. Thank you to D.C., Dallas, Fort Lauderdale, Lexington, do better.
Yep.
Yeah. And I mean, talk about Carolina. We are going to see a lot of Carolina in this first like month of the season. Cause I was looking at Peacock, checking out all the games. Carolina is the only team that has 4 games in the first 4 weeks of the season.
Oh God, that's awful.
Yeah. Lexington only has 1 in those first 4 weeks. It's a weird schedule, and that's kind of necessitated by only having 8 teams in your league.
Yeah.
But get used to seeing Carolina Ascent play.
Okay.
I'm
here for it. Let's be real. I'm a Sun fan, but I'm a fan of the whole league.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of good soccer.
I'll be watching as much as possible, you know? I think there's like 4 games that overlap with each other in the entire fall season. Okay. So you could theoretically watch every game live, basically, and not have any issues. So good to see out of the league.
For sure. And the most important game that's happening, though, is the Best Crest Final, obviously, where we are up against Dallas, who do have a phenomenal crest. And I would also like to reiterate that that Dallas has that really beautiful jacket, and the Sun super duper need to make one. I just want to really want to hone in on that because I need that bomber jacket. I need it.
A varsity jacket, a bomber jacket, Letterman, something cool jacket, please.
Yes, we need it because our crest is better and needs to win. And if you're listening to this before 2 p.m. on Friday, August 9th, you can go vote. You need to go vote.
Yes.
And make sure that we win because we need to have all of the winning.
We were trailing last I checked, which does not make any sense. Dallas's crest is nice, but come on.
I mean, look at ours. It's beautiful.
That's straight up Tampa, you know?
Yeah.
She's beautiful.
Oh, it's so good.
We're just looking at it, getting lost in its beautiful eyes.
Honestly. So make sure that you do that. Absolutely. That's important. And then we have an Olympic gold medal match coming up. We have USA versus Brazil, which honestly, I did not see coming. All of the matchups that happened leading up to this, what happened? Spain, where did you go?
Yeah, it was Spain's game to win.
You almost lost to Colombia, and then you did lose.
Yeah. You have a bad tournament, but like it's a pretty important tournament to have a bad tournament during. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, and I mean, come on. Marta wasn't playing, guys.
Yeah.
This was
Marta had a 2-game suspension for her super flying tackle that she decided to do, which, Lord, I'm sure, I know she regrets it, but what the hell was she thinking? Oh, my God. Yeah.
I don't know. Hopefully she's playing scared. Hopefully she doesn't want to make a mistake or nothing, you know.
Yeah.
Doesn't try too hard.
But I hope she doesn't like hold back too much. I don't want her to not like go. I want her to go her full 110.
I mean, she's retiring from international play, right?
I know.
So like, she probably will leave it all out. I mean, who cares if she gets another yellow card or whatever? She doesn't want to get a red, obviously. But yeah. So it does make me a little nervous as an American. Getting Marta's last game in an Olympic gold medal final.
Yes, but there is also, Trinity Rodman.
That's right. The pink.
Trinity Rodman.
Gotta have that pink.
Yes. I do love Trinity Rodman for continuing our historical victories of with pink hair.
Yep.
On with Rapinoe.
Proud
from,
American.
From Rapinoe, excuse me. It's a tradition that needs to be kept alive.
Yeah. So when's that game? Sunday, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Cool. Good.
Very exciting. I believe I dropped my phone. So I can't check off the top of my head. But I believe the bronze medal match is Saturday, and then Sunday is the gold medal.
Okay. All right. So that'll be a fun weekend then.
Yes, lots of soccer, lots of things to watch. I'm sure there's other local preseason games going on as well for people to go and attend around the league. So make sure that you do that if you're not located in Tampa, but you're located in another one. Make sure you're out supporting local soccer of all kinds.
Yep, UPSL is probably still playing because they never aren't. It's, you know, the USL League One, USL Championship. There's that other big league, big men's pro league. I don't know the name of.
Yeah.
Men's
pro team.
Yeah. Men's pro team, men's pro league.
Yeah.
And the NWSL, I do know the name of.
Yes.
So yeah, get out there, watch some soccer. And then in a week, to lock in on Super League. Because like I said, you can watch a whole lot of it on Peacock.
Oh, yeah. So make sure that you like and subscribe so that you stay up to date. Okay. Like and subscribe. All of the things and all the places, the Twitters, the YouTubes, the Tiki Talkies, the Instagrams, especially. I think we post a ton there. And then also make sure you follow us because we tweet fun stuff too.
Yeah. We're good people.
Yeah.
We've been told.
So we've been told. We're not biased at all.
No,
not at all. Okay. So I want to say that wraps it up for today. So thank you so much. Make sure you like, subscribe again. Awesome sauce. Have a wonderful weekend. And have a sunny day.
Happy International Cat Day!
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.